Mr. Vai, please proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court. This is an original proceeding that arises out of a non-suit, although the arguments, of course, relate to the venue of the suit after the non-suit. There's not a long record, and I know the court's familiar with the record. For the purposes of the original proceeding, I think it's important to recall that the suit was filed in April 2018 in Harris County, and then the non-suit was filed, and it appears in the original record at page 62 in October of 2019, and the suit refiled in the county court law in Nueces County the same day. Also, 2 points relevant to a writ of mandamus generally. One is at the hearing on the motion to transfer at page 15 in the reporter's record, opposing counsel told the court, I think we can agree to all the facts in this case. And I think that's true. So this is not a mandamus that involves any question about resolution of disputed facts. The facts of the first suit and the second suit in terms of their filing and the venue allegations, those are uncontested, uncontroverted. And so the issue before...
Mr. Vai, can you hear me? This is Justice Benavides.
Yes, Your
Honor. So is it undisputed that both Harris County and Nueces County are proper venues of the underlying case?
Yes, Your Honor. In the opposition to the motion to transfer venue, the plaintiffs supplemented. They contested our controversy of the venue allegations. They provided some evidence, and so it became uncontested that it would have been a county of proper venue if first selected. And in the statement of facts at page 2 of the petition, there is a brief discussion of those various motions. And so eventually by supplementation, I do think the real parties in interest got to the point where they had established that there was a corporate representative or corporate defendant office in the county. However, at that same page 2 of the petition, we talk about the fact that the underlying suit for personal injury when it was filed in Harris County had been based on a different section of the venue statute, one that was based upon all or a substantial part of the events giving rise to the lawsuit, that the plaintiffs repeatedly asserted in their amended petitions that Harris County was the county in which all or a substantial part of the events occurred. They never took that position with respect to Nueces County. And as we talked about in the briefing, the purpose of that statute was to tighten up the venue rules so that people would not be picking from counties that had tenuous venue connections.
So Mr. V, that let's first talk about whether this is a mandamusable issue or not. Isn't it correct that if a motion to transfer venue is denied just in a clean cut case, that is not, and it is denied, that there is no scenario where that, or not scenario, but no case law where that is a mandamusable issue?
I think that we know that under the statute, there's a grant of interlocutory appeal for venue determinations that are on mandatory venue. This does not involve
Correct.
Mandatory venue. After we move away from that, we do know from the In Re Team Rocket case, and there's a case I'll talk about in a moment if I have an opportunity out of Beaumont, In Re Berry. We know from these cases that when there are venue decisions that are made that put at risk some of the, essentially that there are some venue rulings that because of the nature of the venue rulings, the courts have now permitted mandamus relief. In Re Team Rocket is one. To answer the court's question, in a clear cut venue case where you're simply having a motion to transfer venue and it's heard by a trial court, and it does not involve mandatory venue, there typically is not mandamus relief available.
But,
law saying that there is an exception with under what I think is exceptional circumstances? Is that
yes, Your Honor, where there's extraordinary circumstances suggesting that the trial court improperly applied a venue statute and issued a ruling that permits a plaintiff to, the court said, abuse the legal system. then they will step in and grant the writ of mandamus rather than have the party go forward with a trial and then in a conventional direct appeal raise the issue about that.
Now, in this case, I'm sorry, Judge Benavides.
No, you go ahead, Chief. Go ahead, Chief.
There was a 17-month delay between the time that the plaintiffs initially filed suit in Harris County and then non-suited and refiled in Nueces County.
Yes, Your Honor.
Does the time frame make a difference, the fact that it was pending as long as it was and litigation had taken place? What if they had done this, say, 2 months after filing the lawsuit?
Yes, I do think it makes a difference. Obviously, to the extent that the In Re Team Rocket case is talking about the circumstances, the extraordinary circumstances, whether those are present, the fact that the case, and it isn't just 17 months alone. If you had a case that, the docket that we're under now, you could have a case that was on file for 17 months. And if you had a COVID situation, you might have nothing happening. But this 17 months also involved 5 amended petitions, discovery efforts, many motions, a trial setting that was continued.
But Mr. V, what makes that an extraordinary circumstances? First of all, just because there's been discovery done, why is that extraordinary circumstances? That would cover no matter in what venue. That's my follow-up question. And my previous question is, isn't it completely different in both the Berry and the K2? Because there was a previous court determination that the case was originally filed in the wrong venue. And that is not the case, which is why I asked the first question. Either one of these cases would have been a permissible venue for the plaintiff to file in.
Right. I think the distinction between this case and some of the others, for example, the Geochem case that was talked about in the hearing before the respondent and a little bit in the opponent's briefing, the Geochem case, the court said, well, the party didn't lose the right under the facts of that case to choose between two counties where the first suit had been filed and it was improper. And so, the issue there was plaintiff picked the wrong county, it was improper, then refiles and brings it into a proper county venue. So that's the plaintiff's first proper choice of a permissive venue. And that's really our position, is that to answer the court's question, what is the extraordinary circumstance? The extraordinary circumstance is not the mere passage of time. The extraordinary circumstance is not litigation during that passage of time. It's the passage of time, litigation, and the fact that the plaintiff originally chose to file in a court of proper venue and litigate there throughout that period based on the only county where they said a substantial part of the events occurred. And then is trying to make a second choice of a permissive proper venue. So the Geochem case is, we won't prejudice you if you chose improper venue and you corrected by non-suit, and then you choose the proper venue. The extraordinary circumstances is to preclude the appearance of forum shopping. And it's not necessary for the court to find that anybody intended forum shopping, but that's the purpose of the statute that requires that you bring claims in a county where a substantial part of the events occurred. That's the reason that all local courts have rules on non-suit, that when you refile back into that court, it must go to the same judge, so that people cannot use non-suits as a means to forum shop. And that's the extraordinary circumstance that we have here, that there really is no other reason, and none has been proffered by the opponent, for a second choice of permissive venue.
Seems that all of the cases that have been cited by both sides in this case are cases involving a motion, where a motion was actually filed and ruled upon in one way or the other. I take it there's no case out there like this where a motion was not filed because, as you've said in your brief, you didn't contest venue because it was proper. You had no reason to file a motion to transfer venue. In fact, if you had, it may have been frivolous. So you did not contest it, and so that's one distinguishing fact, I think, that we have in this case from all of the case law that's been decided.
Yes, and I think it's important, that point is important, because as the arguments developed in the trial court to the respondent, the argument was, if we had filed a motion, contesting what was otherwise proper venue and obviously would have lost, that then would constitute a determination of proper venue that would have precluded this kind of non-suit and refiling in a different county 18 months, 17 months later from happening. And I don't know why we would want to encourage a rule where a defendant who says, this is a county of proper venue, there's more than one county proper venue, which we all know can happen. This venue is good for us. This venue is where the main events occurred. This is where the business is located, or this is where the lawyers are located. But to make sure that 2 years down the road, before we go get the trial, the plaintiff just takes us somewhere else that might be an appropriate permissive venue or doesn't like the trial judge's ruling, for example, in a particular situation, we're going to go ahead and file a motion to transfer venue that we know we'll lose, so we'll have a determination of venue and therefore fit into these other cases. And the second point, as you said, Chief, is correct that in all the other cases, either a party had filed a motion but the venue motion had not been heard yet, and then they non-suited, and the question was, what effect was that? The party had filed the motion, but the other side had not responded in a way to prove that the first venue was a proper venue and that that was a different situation. Again, here the record is, we have no contest as to the underlying facts of the procedures, how we got where we are. We had no contest of venue. We had no pending motion. We had no question about whether the plaintiff had established the venue was improper. And what it really comes down to is this argument of what is a determination of venue that should preclude this type of non-suit. And what they want to say is and I think even the respondent brought this up in the hearing, do I have to have a court-blessed determination of venue, even if it makes me file a motion that borders on the frivolous, to get a determination and lock in the first choice of venue? Or is there a determination of venue when the defendant doesn't oppose it and then the parties actively litigate before the court for 17 months? And so those things.
But Mr. Vey, doesn't the plaintiff have an absolute right to non-suit and refile its case when it decides for whatever reason that's an absolute plaintiff's right to do the dismissal and refile it in another courtroom or in another case or at a different time, as long as it's within the statute of limitations?
The plaintiff does have an absolute right to non-suit, but we also know that courts have acted to make sure that when they exercise that right of non-suit, they can't engage in forum shopping. So
you said earlier that we don't have to make a determination as to forum shopping, but isn't that determination, if the plaintiff has that right, and we can only limit that right in order to show that the plaintiff is not forum shopping, don't we have to make that determination or find some evidentiary matter that there is some forum shopping going on in order to limit the plaintiff's right?
No, I think that at least there's one case that we have cited before in the petition where we talk about the fact that the Beaumont Court of Appeals was looking at this local rule that the Nueces County courts have as well. For example, you're free to non-suit, but you're not free to non-suit and go to a different judge. And so if you voluntarily non-suit a case and you refile it, the courts shall put it back into the same judge. And they do that to avoid the possibility of forum shopping. And in the Beaumont case, the court said, we don't have to determine that, in fact, forum shopping was the effort. The rule is in place to preclude forum shopping, and that's why we're going to follow it. We obviously want to discourage forum shopping, but we don't have to determine first that there is forum shopping. And my point in bringing up that case again, I'm trying to answer the court's question, that we're not infringing on the right to non-suit, just as those rules don't infringe on the right to non-suit, but they put conditions and limitations on how one can non-suit. Now here, it appears the only reason they non-suit was to file in another county after 17 months. So, you know, in the lower court papers, we actually had to talk about asking the court to grant the transfer and then once it got back to Harris County, we knew that the Harris County local rules were such that it would go back to the same judge. It simply wouldn't get filed again in a Harris County case. It would go to that judge again, which is consistent with these underlying rules. So do plaintiffs have an absolute right to non-suit Yes, they can take a non-suit. Do they have the right to avoid any consequences from the non-suit? No. And so we believe that the court here, when it's issuing the supervisory writ, even without finding that there's forum shopping, but that there's the possibility and appearance of forum shopping, which we want to discourage, that the court can conclude that there are extraordinary circumstances and that otherwise it would be an abuse and permit the plaintiff to potentially abuse the legal system by refiling as they did.
Mr. Vai, as you can see, the clock is now with us, so you haven't run out of time, but I do have a question that I'd like you to follow up with on rebuttal, and that is regarding a case that you cited in your brief, Henry Masonite Corp., where the Supreme Court actually said the plaintiff has the first choice, but not the second, of a proper venue. In that case, of course, it was the Supreme Court found that the trial court had, in effect, granted a motion to transfer venue for the plaintiffs, and the court found that it was improper. But it is a 1999 case, and I didn't see where comment by the Supreme Court has been cited. But if you can talk a little bit more about that position, I would appreciate it.
Yes, Your Honor.
And move on then. Mr. Richter, please.
May it please the court. I'd like to start out by addressing the Chief's question about a case where venue had not been challenged. And there is a case we've cited, Payson v. Dawson. It's a San Antonio Court of Appeals case from 1998. In that case, the plaintiff contended venue was not fixed because the defendants had not challenged her venue choice at the time she took non-suits. The Court of Appeals agreed. The Court of Appeals noted that the defendant did not object to the Bexar County suit. And it states the non-suit established is true only the permissive venue fact alleged in Payson's petition, which was the residence of the defendant to establish venue. So in the Harris County suit, in our case, the only thing established for that is true would be that this all or a substantial part of the events occurred in Harris County, which is one way we could have permissive venue. Mr. V was clear that there's no dispute that venue is also proper in Nueces County. That San Antonio case goes on to hold that the suit did not conclusively or judicially fix venue by virtue of the non-suit in Bexar County. The other cases that have found, where a non-suit did not fix venue involved a little bit different situations, but the Payson versus Dawson case is on point. It cites to Geochem, which is another case that talks directly about the issue. And Hyman Farm versus Earth Oil, we've cited, it states it is not true that merely filing a suit conclusively establishes venue. So the mere fact that we filed a suit doesn't fix venue. The fact that we took a non-suit doesn't fix venue.
Are you telling this court by not a fixing venue, you're not picking your first choice of venue just by the mere fact that you filed your lawsuit and stated venue facts in your petition, and in this case up to five different petitions, that the venue was proper in Harris County?
I'm going to make sure I understood the question. You're saying that by filing in Harris County, stating that in picking one of the permissive locations, is your question if are we fixed with that, or can we?
Right. Have you not made your choice under the venue statute that is the venue you've picked, and you don't get a second pick? That we don't need an order from the court or a venue hearing or something, another collateral, that your petition alone fixes venue and establishes it at Harris County.
The petition does not fix venue. It only establishes the venue fact pled. So had we come into Nueces County and tried to say, well, now we want to be in Nueces County because now we allege a substantial part of the events occurred here and it wasn't based on some other limited circumstance where we can file venue, that would be a different situation. But there's nothing in the statute or in the cases that I'm aware of that would prohibit us from now coming in and saying, well, the defendants principal place of business or residence is in this county, so venue is proper here. If we were trying to argue,
what I'm concerned with is if you look at Rule 187, I mean not 81, Rule 87 on the motion to transfer venue, that rule isn't even triggered unless a motion is filed. So in your brief, you have said that the determination of venue was never made in Harris County. Well, looking at that rule, the determination of venue is made when a motion is filed, and then, you know, all of the burdens that come up with pleadings and proof are triggered. In this case, there was no reason for a motion to transfer venue to be filed, because, as we know, because they did not contest venue. So it seems that to take your position of a determination of venue having to be made first, that means that in every case, they're going to have to file a motion to transfer venue so that they can get that ruling made and set. But doing so, as I said earlier, would seem to be borderline frivolous, because they wouldn't have a basis for filing a motion to transfer venue. So how do we reconcile that?
I'm thinking through the question a second. I the way the statute's written, we have, I mean, because I understand the concern of or, you know, forum shopping and the legislature wanting to curtail that through the statute. I mean, notably in the legislative history, and I believe the relator's brief goes to some of that, it very severely limited these where you can file. Because before, it could be any part of it. It didn't have to be a substantial part, any part, you know, go see a doctor or whatever. So we have a very limited set of circumstances. If the legislature intended for you to be completely 100% fixed upon filing of a suit, they certainly could say that in the statute. So I understand the you know, the concern being raised, but I don't know that the concern is, it seems to be creating a situation that's not going to be present often. And we have very limited circumstances where we can file. And that's, the legislature said, you know, you have these limited places where you can file. There's not a dispute here that there are two counties of proper venue. And so I don't know how, I mean, the law, at least from as it is today, is that there would have to be a determination to fix it in that county. And so if it's not disputed, there's nothing that would stop us from taking a non-suit and filing in another county of permissive venue, assuming that we hadn't conclusively established, you know, if we would have alleged the defendant's principal place of business was in Harris County, and then we're changing our mind, I think that would create an issue where you've judicially admitted a venue fact. But here there are two different bases. So I just, without them challenging it, without a venue determination, I don't believe there is anything that would stop a plaintiff for whatever reason, as Justice Benavides suggested earlier, that from non-suiting and then filing in another county a proper venue.
And as a practical matter, what happens to all of the litigation that has occurred? I'm assuming discovery has taken place in terms of written discovery, depositions. Does all of that get transferred, or do you have to do it all over again?
I would believe that you would be able to use the discovery between the parties, you know, absent some objection by the other party. And, you know, and I, to, you know, to create a certain, I mean, just as a hypothetical, if you were in a situation where you filed in a county of proper venue and that county was overwhelmed and could not get a case to trial timely, you know, 2 or 3 year delay in getting to trial, and you have another county of proper venue, you could take a non-suit, file in the other county of proper venue. If that county is not congested, if that county has the ability to get the case to trial, that would be a situation where you're actually promoting judicial economy by trying to get the case to trial. So, I mean, there are, in that situation, in that example, would be a proper way of moving a case along It's consistent with the venue statute, and it's also consistent with a plaintiff's ability to non-suit, which I would note is not a plaintiff's ability to non-suit is generally absolute, but it's not. I mean, there are very limited circumstances. If there's a counterclaim, a claim for attorney's fees, if it would affect the ability or interfere with other people's rights, there are limited circumstances where a non-suit is inappropriate. But where it here, without any of those circumstances, there's nothing procedurally wrong with the non-suit, and there is nothing, and admittedly, Nueces County is a proper county of venue. So, I mean, I
Mr. Richter, my...
Relator pointed out in his brief that the venue proof that you offered to support your choice of venue in Nueces County, because they did specifically deny your choice of venue there, and so then you had to put on proof, but much of that proof existed prior to the time that you filed the Harris County case. So how should that be weighed, in that you knew, I guess assumed that you knew that Nueces County was a proper venue at the time, but you chose Harris County. How should that be factored in?
I don't believe that should play any role in the analysis here. There's no, I'm not aware of anything that would prohibit us from doing that. I mean, and on the flip side, I've seen cases where it's filed and discovery is developed, and then that discovery is used to facilitate a motion to transfer venue or as a basis for it. So I don't know that the mere fact that we could have brought it before and chose, you know, to bring it in Harris County is dispositive of this. I mean, at the end of the day, it was permissive and it still is a permissive county of venue. It was within the statute of limitations, and there was nothing affecting our ability to take a non-suit. So I don't
My problem that I have is that there seems to be an underline as we walk into this case, that there seems to be a presumption that if you non-suit a case and refile it in another court, you're forum shopping. That's the assumption that's being made here. And that's where I'm troubled by it. That would be, just for the sake of argument this morning, there would be some people that I think would argue that this case would be better off in Harris County as opposed to Nueces County. Some people think that's a more liberal county than Nueces County if you're a plaintiff. And so I have a problem that just because we're trying to avoid forum shopping, which the legislature has pointed out, that we're automatically making an assumption in a case that this is forum shopping just because you non-suited it and refiled it in another permissive county, which is why I was asking Mr. Vai, and I am now asking you, does the trial court and or our court have to make a determination that this is a forum shopping, or is it just still within the plaintiff's right to non-suit and refile in another court?
I believe it's within the plaintiff's right. And I think to address your question is in a situation where if we were facing an adverse ruling, if we had an expert struck or a summary judgment granted, and then we were to non-suit, then, you know, perhaps that argument would be there. The point I tried to make earlier is that when the legislature did limit the venue statute, it did so to curtail forum shopping. The purpose of the statute was to limit where we can file. So we have a very limited set of circumstances where we can file. So the legislature itself, in an attempt to remedy forum shopping, severely limited where you can file a suit and what constitutes permissive venue. I don't believe that the forum shopping is necessarily required for the court to find. I think it may create a different circumstance, but I also would think that would be something for the trial court to determine based on the facts present of whether or not that is something that the court should consider. But in this case, I don't believe there is anything to suggest or to support that allegation other than speculation and assumption that because we've filed somewhere else that we're allowed to under the rules, that we're somehow seeking a benefit. We're not avoiding any adverse rulings. And so I don't see how that argument has any merit here, but I also don't think it's applicable to the analysis.
So then why did y'all non-suit and file in Nueces County?
Well, and again, I respect the question. I will answer. I don't know that the reason is necessarily relevant, but in this case, we have the trial court in Harris County is extremely congested. It's my understanding that the new judge in the 270th still has not tried a case. And so when it was non-suited, there was a 2 year or so delay until we'd get to trial. And Nueces County's got both county court and district court that move cases, that try cases and get them ready. So there is a, for purposes of getting the case to trial, and instead of running from trial or, you know, running from anything, we're running to get this case resolved. And so there are, that is a situation that I think, and in this case is really the practical reason, is that we are trying to get to a court where the court's not congested, where we can get this case to trial. And that's what we are trying to do here so that we can get to promote judicial economy.
Mr. Richter, do you agree that taking a step backwards, that this case is properly before the court on a mandamus relief, or is this something we shouldn't even address in a mandamus relief?
I do not believe that it's properly in front of the court for mandamus relief. There is.
We don't have extraordinary circumstances to deal with this issue?
I do not believe so, Your Honor. The Hyman Farm Services versus Earth Oil case is one that talks about non-suiting, and it was decided that that opinion was issued after a trial on the merits. I just don't believe there's any extraordinary circumstance here, and there is an adequate remedy through
a traditional. Which case is that you just cited?
Hyman Farm Service Inc. versus Earth Oil and Gas. It's 920 Southwest 2nd 452, Your Honor.
Okay, because you cite in your brief in Ray Mendoza, and cite it for the proposition that mandamus relief was denied, as the court found no mandatory venue provision, which is true, and that no exceptional circumstances existed. But in reading the case, I couldn't see where the court said no exceptional circumstances existed. Actually, that was out of our court. So I was going to question you about that.
And Your Honor, I'm looking now. I believe from reviewing the case, it didn't present any exceptional circumstance. And
it wasn't your intent to say that that was the court's finding.
I know, Your Honor.
Okay. Any more questions, or you have more?
The last thing I'd like to just address briefly is I know Mr. V has brought up the local rules, and I just want to briefly address that. Is, you know, the history behind the local rule issue is from lawyers filing a case and then non-suiting it as soon as they got a judge assigned in the same day and doing it quickly. And so there are local rules put in place so there's not judge shopping within a courthouse. I don't think that analysis is applicable here when we're talking about two different counties, and there was no second filing in Nueces. We filed Nueces, we got assigned a judge, and we have proceeded forward in that court. So I don't believe the local rule analysis is applicable here. Do y'all have anything further?
I don't have anything further, Chief.
Neither. Okay. Well, if you have nothing further, we'll take the time back. Thank you very much, Mr. Richter. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. You had asked about the In re Masonite case, and you know the situation there was that there had been one choice of forum, and then the trial judge had essentially, rather than grant a motion to transfer based on the opposing party's arguments, sent it to another different county that the plaintiff said was also a county of proper venue. And the Supreme Court said, well, the plaintiff gets one choice of proper forum. It doesn't get two. And, you know, that was the argument we were making here. And, you know, up until a moment ago in opposing counsel's argument, certainly not in the briefing, we had never heard anything from the plaintiffs on why they chose to refile 17 months into the case after doing all the discovery, except that that's their right to do it. And that really goes back into all the court's questions about the mandamus, availability of mandamus relief. We believe that it is available, and the cases suggest that the circumstances of a particular case are those that support mandamus relief in any case. But, you know, essentially here, the adequacy of an appeal versus the adequacy of a mandamus depends on the fact of each case. And then we know that the Supreme Court has said you can grant mandamus relief related to venue matters where extraordinary circumstances exist. Opposing counsel cited that the Hyman case, it's at page 12 or page 11 of their response. And it was a venue consideration on a direct appeal after trial. And all the court said there was, it is not true that merely filing a suit conclusively establishes venue. Well, that's not our argument. And again, we're talking about the fact that they filed five amended petitions and reasserted venue each time in five petitions as being proper in Harris County, litigated in Harris County. It was called for trial once and continued. If I'd heard the arguments today if they'd been made in the briefing or in the trial court, the reason that we tried to transfer was because we want to go someplace we can get to a trial quicker. I might have pulled the information from the prior case and put it in this mandamus record on whether the parties had moved for that case to be continued from the first trial setting, or it simply didn't reach when the next trial setting was. So it's an argument now, but you know, the court's question is.
But Mr. Ray, isn't it reality that the one that I think what Mr. Richter argues that the venue statute really restricts the plaintiff already of where they can file the lawsuit. And as long as they're within that restricted venue statute and we're not dealing with a mandatory venue, the plaintiff can pick whatever venue they feel within, of course, the statute of limitations and within the venue. And that as long as that isn't detrimental to the defendant, because you're still in your place of business, and some would argue that you'd rather be there than in Harris County, and or there isn't some adverse ruling that indicates a forum shopping, that we allow plaintiff to continue just to follow Rule 87, that as long as they file it in a permissive venue, they can.
I think the court, again, has to look at the totality of the circumstances in this case. For example, as the chief noted, and as we had set out in our brief, plaintiffs say, well, we found out that there was a place of business and that we could have sued in Nueces County. They knew that before they ever filed suit. The plaintiff gets, there's nothing a defendant can do about
so,
the plaintiff's
So let's go back to, the, yes, Mr. V, let's go back to the chief's first question. Then where do we draw the line? Is 18 months too long? At that point, have they waived their venue argument? What if they file it and then a month later they decide to non-suit and there hasn't been any discovery? So where do we start making the determination as to whether they've waived the venue?
You have 1 minute remaining on your rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. 1 month, no. And if you were presented a mandamus on that, you would find that the trial court likely did not abuse its discretion. 18 months, five amended petitions with repeated judicial admissions that the cause of action arose in Harris County, active litigation in Harris County, one trial setting in Harris County. And again, then when the motion is made, the response was not anything other than we have a right to do this, not we have a tactical reason for doing it, we have a policy reason for doing it. We're hearing it now, but we never, nor did the respondent hear it before. The court does not need to find forum shopping. It does not need to assume forum shopping. The purpose of a ruling here would be to preclude forum shopping. And that's the same way that these local rules work. We want to preclude it. We don't need to find it in every case. And I think the court can grant mandamus relief in this case without finding or assuming forum shopping, but that the facts of the case overall present the extraordinary circumstances where it would be an abuse of the legal system to permit them under these circumstances to transfer and get a second choice of proper venue, having exercised their first and the defendants not contesting it.
Okay, Mr. Bai, I turned on my handy little timer here, so you're now out of time.
Thank you.
Panel, any more questions?
No.
Okay, excuse me. All right. Thank you very much for your arguments. The case will be under submission.
Thank you.